Hello, you are listening to, or so they say, the podcast where two sisters travel small town America, one ghostly tale at a time. I'm Kelsey.
And I think I have blood on my hoodie.
Not blood, I see a cat fuzz.
No,
like,
I already scratched it off.
No, there was like move your finger to the, there, is that a fuzz? You got it, good job.
Thank you.
I don't know about the blood.
I'm
Man, blood from what?
Your guess is as good as mine. Probably from my freaking kittens tearing my leg up.
Oh, yeah. Someone take these kittens. Is my coworker?
They're wonderful.
Is my coworker going to take the kitten?
She did not respond to me after I told her that they're just existing in my home.
I saw her tonight. I should have asked. I should have said something.
Girl, I don't have the money to do all that to four kittens. I mean, now three kittens, but like, come on.
Oh, well. Anyway, kittens, they're wonderful. Wonderful.
I love them to pieces. I need them out of my home.
I don't need any more cats, as everybody who knows me knows.
I need to see if anybody needs barn cat.
Stop.
Penny can go with them.
I mean, that's true.
I'm over her.
Well, hi, anyway, hi, we love our animals.
It's a first Thursday.
It is a first Thursday, and we're recording this way later than usual,
so
and I can
late.
Already feel me being tired, but this is a place that we've been. Not that I'm not engaged in episodes of places that we haven't been, but like, we get to recall experiences, and I don't know, maybe I'll be more lively about it, because this is my bedtime. Right now really should be my bedtime.
Dude, same. I've not been to bed. The earliest I've been to sleep, I think, is like 12:30, 1 a.m.
Yeah, I just had this conversation today. They're like, how much do you sleep? I was like, I'm tired of being tired. And then I said, I average about 4 to 6 hours a night. And they're like, maybe don't do that.
Right. It reminds me of a couple episodes back when we heard, well, I heard when I was researching. He's like, I'm just going to take like a 12-hour nap. And the girl goes, well, that's why you have chronic. dang it. What'd she say?
I kind of remember, but I can't remember.
Something. I don't know.
I don't know.
It was funny, though, whatever
fatigue.
It was.
I have chronic fatigue. I know it in my soul.
It was Rhode Island, I want to say. Rhode Island episode. I don't know. It was funny. Whatever it was.
Oh, in the investigation video.
Yes.
I can't remember.
The guy investigating walked past a conversation. He goes, I'm going to take a 12-hour nap. The guy in the background. She goes, well, that's why you have chronic fatigue.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. Well, whatever.
It's a vicious cycle. Whatever.
Yeah. What? I'm just going to die tired.
I guess, but...
Well, anyway, this is a place that we've been.
And
wow,
we're not
wow.
tired of. Ah, see uh-huh. what I did there?
Yeah. Ha ha. Because we're not tired of it because maybe it's lame, maybe it's not. But this was one of our past favorite locations. We're actually revisiting mm-hmm. a location because why not?
We talk about it often when
I
we
do.
Recall
I feel like I recall
past
it a
episodes. Because it was so much fun. So we had to check again.
And it was so long ago, like it feels like so long ago. Maddie was not around yet for this one. She came
That's
around
true.
Just a couple months later. Mm-hmm. So came around, we started dating a couple months later. But yeah, so this location we haven't been to in 2.5 years.
Yeah, we were in like the thick of COVID still. Masks were required everywhere, and mm-hmm. it was fun.
So without further ado, we are in the exotic, exciting city of Rockville, Indiana.
Yeah.
At the Old Jail Inn. Wonderful. I will say that there was a downfall to this place, mm-hmm. and that is that the donut shop is gone.
Oh, I know. Wheelhouse Donuts. We called them out last time because they were wonderful and they were wonderful to us. And they packed up and moved out.
Yeah, and not only moved out, but they moved overseas to Germany. So, like, the donuts are no more. They were so good. It's very sad. The closest place that would probably even be kind of like it would be the Covered Bridge Coffee Company, but I don't know.
Oh, I have no clue.
That's like right at the Clinton?
Yeah, at the Lyford.
Yeah, that weird intersection that always gets you.
Yeah, the Lyford Y. I'm yawning. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, I am too, so stop.
Yeah, so Wheelhouse is gone. That sucks. Also, the other thing. We were spoiled the first time we went.
Yeah. The first time we went, she literally was like, well, you're the only ones here tonight, so here, have a key. And I'm not staying here tonight, so I'll just see y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, she told us we had free reign to snoop around and do whatever. Yeah,
she's like, here's where you're staying, but since no one else is here, I'll just show you every other room. Mm-hmm. So she did, and was like, you can check out whatever you want. Just don't leave the door unlocked.
Yeah.
And this time, we were so close. Listen, did I book the room, I don't know, 5 hours, 6 hours before we intended on being there? Maybe. But that, whatever, that doesn't matter. They're very flexible. Keep, if you ever want to stay, just know, like, literally,
oh, yeah,
you could book 2 hours before. You could probably walk in if they're, I don't know if they hang out there or not. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, I assume at the Drunk Tank, you could at least go in there and be like, hey, do you mind if I, like, stay tonight? And they're like, sure, let me call up Deb,
maybe.
Oh, was that her name? No. Oh no,
dang it. Well, anyway, we were spoiled the first time, because this time I booked the room I would say 6 hours before we had to be there, and and every room was available. I was like, ooh, it's happening again.
Uh-huh.
Maddie, we had to, like, scatter to the winds because I had to work, you had to work, Maddie had to do, I don't know, there was a million things going on, so we just met there in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Maddie got there, and I showed up after her, and she opened the door for me, and she's like, so there's one other person staying here. I was like, what?
Dang.
Like, luckily we were on completely opposite floors, but yeah, like, apparently, right, he must have just walked in and been like, I get, she said it's like someone who knows the owner.
Uh-huh.
He's like, can I stay here tonight? And she's like, sure. So we did not, dang, have the building to ourselves this time.
Yeah.
So we are considerate people. So right, we didn't go all out like last time, which kind of sucked, because we, like, I prepared. Everything was charged and had batteries. We had everything. I just didn't bring in the Ouija board. I never did get around to that either.
I just blew the microphone.
I saw you do that. You tried to blow a fluff and you're like.
I was going to ask if you guys went back in the kitchenette area and if the Justin Bieber toothbrush was still there.
Why did I not look? When I left the next morning, I even stopped in there because I, like, walked past it and then stopped and kind of backpedaled and peeked in there just because I wanted to know. And uh-huh, I turned on the light, but I didn't look in the drawer. I really should have.
Dang it.
Whatever. Missed opportunities.
That makes me sad. I unfortunately didn't get to stay the night. I just dropped in and did a little bit of investigating, and then I headed out. So,
yeah, whatever.
It was just Kelsey and Maddie.
Because I guess you have to work, which is dumb.
I do, and I'm sick of it.
We actually all had to work the next day, just at different times. Mm-hmm. Times that we justified staying or not.
Yes.
But anyway. Right. Old Jail Inn, Rockville, Indiana, because we've been here before and because we've been in Rockville a handful of times, I feel like at this point, obviously we're not going to do the typical history and background because
we've done it.
We already know.
Yeah. I will say, I guess I'll just rehash pretty much the basics of the jail. And then what I'm going to cover is I wanted to know what kind of crimes were going on in Rockville. You know, what necessitated this jail? And I'm telling you, it was a lawless land, the 1800s.
Apparently, I don't know.
So if you remember, or if this is your first old jail episode, you should go back and listen to the other one because it's pretty good.
And we're skipping a lot.
Yeah, but the old jail, it served as a jail in the county from 1879 to 1998. That is a heck of a run.
Yeah, we were alive.
We were alive. Wow. So it's a two-story jail. It does have a drunk tank in the basement. It's not huge. I mean, there's, what, how many cells? Maybe 10, 12 cells in total?
10, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. There's two upstairs, and then there's five in the main hall, and then two off of the lobby.
Yeah.
Three.
Oh, I don't know.
One of them
is for, like, the live-in, the people that, I don't know.
Yeah, I think there is also a section of the jail that they just, like, hang out. live. I don't really know how it works. Anyway, that's the jail. That's all I'm giving you about the jail. But I did some digging because I wanted to know what was going on at the time in Rockville in Park County, Indiana. What's happening? Why did we need this jail? And I'm telling you,
it's plenty of reasons.
Yeah. So this information I'm pulling from ingenweb.com.
Okay.
And from what I can gather, what I understand is that this is an actual from the newspaper of the time. It's taken verbatim and they have transcribed it onto the internet. They've digitized it.
Okay.
So I'm going to change up some words because I did a run through of these because I'm not going to cover them all. There's actually quite a bit here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to change up some words because it's not PC anymore.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
But this was also taken from the newspaper on August 9th, 1883.
Okay.
So she old. Well, it would be 240 years old now?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Neat. Okay. Well, it will be in August. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. The title, big bold letters, exclamation point, The Record of Blood. Dum dum.
That's really intense.
Yeah. It says, the work of pistol, knife, and bludgeon, homicides in Park, 1820 to 1870.
All right, you got my attention.
All right, yeah, just real quick. There's death, there's blood, there's gore, and there's 50 years worth of it.
Yeah.
And in 50 years, this is quite, for Park County, this is a bit, I showed you the website. I was just like, it keeps going.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it says, the Valley of the Wabash was, no doubt, like all this Western country, infested at an early day by reckless and blood-stained men. We love to see
that's
it.
That's so artsy.
We call it the Wabash Valley, and it says the Valley of the Wabash.
I know.
Anyway, no doubt these wild hollows and dense forest afforded refuge for the bogus coiner and horse thief. No doubt a lone traveler or land hunter was occasionally robbed, and there is little doubt that life was unlawfully taken here as elsewhere in the West. But beyond the general report, and the fact published in the Terre Haute papers that one Native American had killed another at Dasney's and another Native American had killed his squaw near Roseville. I don't know. Squaw. Isn't that a child? Like,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Is it like a, I don't know.
Apprentice style child.
I just hope that isn't
know.
Like, yeah, I'm not saying anything offensive there. Anyway, he killed it near Roseville. Yeah, Roseville, we have no record.
Oh, okay. So just
hearsay. So just
made that up.
We shall therefore concern ourselves only with those homicides which have occurred since the county was organized. So they're saying those two things happened, but there's no paper record of it.
Okay.
All right. We shall give the list, including all grades of homicide, and endeavor to distinguish justly between murder and justifiable killing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
The justifiable killing. Okay, so this is listed as the first murder in Park County.
Okay.
First recorded, we should say. It says, in Park County, excited less general notice than any subsequent one. So lavish. And it's
I was going to say, I don't know what that meant. I feel like I blacked out for a second.
I did too. So little indeed that the names of the slayer and the victim are alike forgotten. So it's saying, it's been so long, we don't know who they are anymore, but it is recorded.
Yeah.
They had just located in the tract north of Sugar Creek. They quarreled and fought, as pioneers do. After an ordinary fight, one stabbed the other, inflicting a mortal wound. The citizens there arrested the slayer and sent word to Sheriff Henry Anderson, who brought him to the county seat with his legs tied under the horse.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I was just stuck on, you said the Slayer, and I just think of Buffy.
Yeah.
I can't not.
This was thought to be the regular thing for murderers in those days. Just tie them down.
Well, so they can't run.
Yeah. The prisoner's appearance gained the goodwill of most who saw him. He was quite fair, frank, and pleasant looking, and the evidence showed mitigating facts. He was therefore sentenced for a short term, as people then considered it, served his time, and never returned to Park County. Neither slayer nor victim left family or property. The records are destroyed, and only a faint memory remains in the minds of the oldest citizens. The affair took place, as believed is, in 1824.
There's nobody left. You transcribed. Never mind. I was like, nobody's left remembering this, you dummy.
No.
This 200 years ago.
Yes, it was. And I'll cover, like I said, I don't want to do too much. I'll read this next one. It says Colonel Jacob Bell is our next victim. Dum dum.
Yeah.
Colonel Jacob Bell was killed by what was long suspected to be murder, but in the absence of any conceivable motive on the part of his slayer, was finally decided to be an accident.
He was killed by murder.
Yeah. But then they couldn't find any motive, so they just said, well, then I guess it was an accident.
Well, if there was no reason for it, oh well.
Yeah. Colonel Bell was very widely known as generally liked, while the lad, Archer by name, who killed him, so his murderer was Archer, was of a very peculiar temper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was reared with no education of any kind, his father being densely ignorant.
Okay.
Sorry, my South on. What did I say?
Densely ignorant.
Ignorant, very unattractive in person.
Oh, well, okay.
And of a rather dangerous temper.
Dang, okay, so...
Spared no expense on this,
you know, Indiana's finest, yeah.
Well, and because I bet Jacob Bell being a colonel, they're like, oh, respect the colonel, but Archer, he's just dumb and ugly.
Yeah, dumb, ugly in person, even. Yeah. Like, I know they probably mean his personality, but whatever.
Colonel Bell was stealing upon a deer one day in the thick woods when he received a shot and fell mortally wounded. Okay.
Okay, so we can tell from that description what probably happened.
Yeah, they were both out hunting, and you don't have neon vests and, you know, bright orange hats to wear out in the 1800s.
Yeah, so no, it was an accident.
I mean, with one sentence, we've already said this guy's innocent, but
yeah, just
who knows?
Call me a lawyer.
Colonel Bell himself, before dying, concluded it was an accident, and the boy was never prosecuted. Well, there you go. Opinions divided, of course, the boy's friends insisting on the absence of all motive, his enemies having much to say about his gloomy and malignant temper.
I mean, he's so ugly.
Yeah. Obviously, he was just so mad at Colonel Jacob for looking good.
Looking fair.
In the year 1826 or 7, a still more mysterious event occurred in Jackson Township. At a very early day, a man and wife named Staggs from Ohio built and occupied a cabin of Buckeye logs. Cool. After they had resided there for some 4 years, the report circulated that they had a considerable sum of money they were saving to buy land. Why is that public knowledge? Hey, did you hear the Staggs have like a
lot
of money? Why? One night, the cabin was found to be on fire, and neighbors being few and remote, it was consumed before they collected, so they couldn't get people there in time to save them.
Poop.
Neither of the Staggs was ever seen again, but among the ashes were found the calcined bones.
I mean, so they were found again. They were seen again, but...
I guess, technically.
Just calcined. A little different.
And that's where I'm going to end that. I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger. Dum-dum. There's one.
Okay.
Do you want one more?
You know what? Why not? Hit me with it.
I pulled up this other website, so I feel like I have to use it. So I'm going to leave that other one on a cliffhanger. And Okay. Now we're going to go to murderbygaslight.com.
Oh, gosh. It sounds like my ex. Just kidding.
Okay. This one is about an Alfred Egbert.
Egbert?
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
They called him Pete.
Not Egg?
No, I guess not.
Stupid.
So Pete was 21 years old, lived with his parents, a brother, and a sister in Rockville, Indiana. He was a quiet man who led an exemplary life. When not working as a carpenter, he was a voracious reader, often reading well into the night. Okay. I can feel. April 9th, 1896, his sister Florence was dying of typhoid, and Pete was under considerable stress from worry and lack of sleep. Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
The morning of April 25th, Pete was outside chopping wood when he saw the next door neighbor, Mrs. Haskey or Hask.
Mm-hmm.
He saw her walk through the alley to get her cow for milking. I hate that word. Something suddenly enraged him.
Okay.
He just saw her walking and he was like, Mrs. Haskey.
Yeah.
And he attacked her with an axe.
Oh.
Why?
I mean, stress will do weird things to people.
Lack of sleep.
I mean, maybe he was getting sick and was having like
hallucinations or something. Yeah. He knocked her to the ground and then gave her a blow to the head, killing her. He walked back to the house, got his shotgun, and left the house again. He went next door and entered the Haskey's kitchen, where two of her children, Herman, aged 8, and Agnes, aged 10, were there eating breakfast.
Okay.
The children ran from the room when Pete raised the shotgun to fire. Herman ran outside, and Pete followed. And when he caught up, he emptied one barrel into Herman's chest.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Like, I know. My heart's racing.
I don't know. I'm terrible. I'm a terrible person. And what I do is I like to personalize these things because I'm a visual learner. So what I do is who do I know that's around that age? And I'm thinking of our nieces.
Yeah.
Because one of them, I believe, is
8.
8.
Yeah.
So imagine her just getting chased down by their neighbor with a shot. What?
Yeah. Well, it gets worse. He went back into the house. He found Agnes, the 10-year-old, and she was sitting in the room still, and he fired the other barrel, killing her instantly. 5-year-old Julia, who had been in bed, came downstairs to ask Agnes to help her get dressed.
Shut up. Why would you? Okay.
Julia found her sister lying in a pool of blood and managed to escape death by running outside in her night clothes screaming.
Oh,
gosh darn it.
God.
There's the children.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sad. What the heck?
It's a drawing, obviously.
Yeah. Is the littlest in the middle?
Yes. Julia's in the middle. Herman is on your left and Agnes on the right. Yep.
Lord.
After reloading the shotgun, Pete started walking uptown.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. People he passed on the street greeted him cordially, having no idea what had just occurred at the Haskey's.
Is it Which normal? Is creepy.
Yeah. To just walk around with a shot. I mean, it's a different time, I guess.
Yeah.
It was not. Okay. Here we go.
just kept reading.
It was not unusual to see Pete Egbert carrying a shotgun on his way to do some hunting. Okay. Pete's brother ran uptown and found Sheriff Mull and Deputy Sweem standing outside the jail. Out of breath from the run, he told them that Pete was on his way armed with a shotgun and meant to do some damage. The sheriff and deputy saw Pete near the courthouse and walked toward him. Why would you do that? Don't do that.
The audacity.
As they approached him, they told him to stand back. Or Pete told them to stand back. Sheriff Mull asked him what the trouble was, and Pete told him again to stand back. The officers went inside the Park National Bank. It was believed that the sheriff wanted to get a rifle that he knew was in the office on the second floor at the bank, casually.
Yeah, right.
As they started up the stairs, Pete entered the bank and fired twice, killing both of them.
He was a good hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
He reloaded his shotgun and continued down the street.
Okay, I kicked my microphone. I'm so distraught.
Coroner Newland, who had witnessed the shooting, quickly organized a posse and within 15 minutes had assembled a large group of heavily armed men. I mean, yeah, do what you gotta do.
I mean, at this point, yeah, I think there's only one way you can stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate to jump to that. You have to de-escalate, but I don't know.
Again, 1800s.
Yeah.
They went after Pete, who had gone to the fairgrounds outside of town. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The fair's actually going on in our town. It just started.
Oh, is it? I don't know anything.
Yeah, the Banks Dirt Fest.
The Dirt Fest. We literally call it Dirt Fest because it's just, we're like the Dust Bowl. It's it's really bad. Locals call it Dirt Fest. Because in the nicest way possible, like Terre Haute's finest, just, you know, come crawling out of the Wabash for this one.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so they went after Pete. He was walking towards the fairgrounds. The men surrounded the fairgrounds so Pete could not escape, and as he walked across the field, one of the men fired a rifle, hitting him in the heel.
Ow! Yeah.
Pete hobbled into a stable and sat down in one of the stalls. Fearing a prolonged standoff, the men sent someone to town for some dynamite to blow him out of the stable.
Just get rid
of him. But the explosive was not needed. Pete took off the shoe on his wounded foot, and pulling the trigger with his toe, he fired the shotgun point blank into his side.
Into his side?
Mm-hmm.
Also with his toe? Mm-hmm. You got shot in the heel. Your hands are fine.
Well, if you're going to shoot yourself.
A really long barrel.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That day was the worst tragedy that had ever hit Rockville, and the people there struggled to find a motive. Pete was very fond of his sister Florence and had been at her bedside for hours the night before, knowing full well that she would soon die. His relatives believed that the strain had unbalanced his mind. He had been annoyed by the noise the Haskey children, yeah, they spelled it differently here, I don't know why, the mm-hmm. Haskey children made, and thought it would affect his sister. So yeah, he was just...
I mean, he snapped, like, mm-hmm. Just mentally. I don't know. And I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. People in this time, like, not that people don't care about their siblings now,
mm-hmm.
but... Like, he was obviously very close to his sister, and I'm not implying anything, but I'm saying it's Rockville, Indiana, but...
I don't know.
I actually really like Rockville. Yeah. The 1800s were a different time, and I feel mm-hmm. like people cared about their siblings, like, a little too much, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. So at this point, people could only speculate. Others said that he was just mean and vengeful, and that he had sold a pig to Mr. Haskey, and... It was a price much lower than it was worth, and Haskey often teased Pete about the deal, and it angered him. Why would you buy something off someone and be like, you're so dumb for giving me that so cheap?
Right. I'll be honest, not that I would go on a killing spree, but that would annoy me.
No,
like,
I don't
like being made to feel stupid.
Right.
And that would trigger me, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And they said maybe the killings were revenge for that, but Pete did not have a grudge against the sheriff and the deputy, and he had worked previous days at the Sheriff Mole's house repairing a fence. So most could really not find a reason, only that he just suddenly snapped.
Yeah, the annoyance, the stress, the frustration, whatever, because of his sister, because he may have been getting sick, because of the kids, because of the husband, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things.
But that's the story of Pete Egbert.
Jesus, I don't want to call him Egg anymore.
I know. I wanted to do something fun.
It's not fun.
Well, I wanted to do something different since we'd covered the old jail before. So not to get too off track, but if you wonder why a jail was needed.
I'm going to guess he was in that jail.
Well, he killed himself right then.
Oh, you're right. I'm so dumb. I really did listen to that story.
But there are so many others. It's intense. It's insane. Check it out. I thought it was very interesting.
Yucky.
Yeah.
That's all.
And I'll go ahead and stop there, save for then. I'll let you go, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay. So, admittedly... When I said, like, oh, I booked this place, like, the day of that we ended up staying, it was a little last minute because trying to get our schedules to line up, and this is why we had to bump it back to one place a month, trying to get our schedules to line up to even go somewhere has been challenging, and mm-hmm. it happened again, and, like, we were on a bit of a time, I'm going to be, you know, transparent and say we were on a bit of a time crunch to find a place because we knew we didn't have any available dates. Like, before or after, there was just, like, a window.
Right.
And what the heck was I saying? Oh, right. So we booked it the same day. And, like I said, I had to work. I literally never close. And this day in particular, it must have slipped my mind. I did, in fact, close. I was like, wow, okay. you had to record stuff for your other podcast that day.
Yes.
Just... So many factors that we got there later, much later than we anticipated.
Yeah.
And so we got a later start to this. So we didn't get to do as much as we wanted, but truthfully, kind of a blessing and a curse because that other guy ended up being there, which sort of hindered what we could have done anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I have to burp every episode.
Every episode. Get it together.
I had Applebee's before this.
Goodness sakes.
Well, anyway, so we did, I will say, of all of the equipment we have and of all of the things we've ever done, we actually did something new this time. And it was really it's the only thing we really got a good chunk of time with.
Yeah. And we've talked about doing it in the past. It's like, oh, we really should try. Oh my God. Wow,
that was heavy.
Kicked it a whole foot.
Listen, I'm so tired. I'm not even going to cut that. I'm so sorry, guys. I really kicked that like a good 6 inches. What the heck?
Anyway, we've mentioned in past episodes, we're like, man, we should really try that sometime. And then we finally tried it.
Yes. And I didn't realize, I knew it had a name, but I couldn't remember. Are you fairly certain that it is called the Estes method?
Yes.
Okay. We tried the Estes method. We haven't talked about this much on the podcast because we've never had a chance to do it because we didn't have the equipment or just whatever reason. But we did it this time. And the Estes method is sort of a foolproof way to not let the power of suggestion get the better of you in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we did this one thing, but we actually had a lot of different equipment going on.
Yes.
So we had 2 static cameras. We had 2 voice recorders. We had the light grid. We had the cat toy. We had the EMF, I think. Okay, we had the EMF. And we had something that we actually haven't used much at all until now,
mm-hmm.
which was a pseudo spirit box.
Yeah.
There are apps. I know every time I say we use something on a phone, I'm like, yeah, I know. But the thing with this spirit box idea is they're all the same in that they flip through radio frequencies at different rates, whatever rate you choose, it depending on if you have that availability. So it's not like this app can't make up words for you. It's, you can see it scanning through radio frequencies like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just picking up, like, I'll tell you right now, during this Estes method, I heard a little bit of Ariana Grande. I know it because it's going through the radio. And I was like, I can't say that. I know.
Before we, like, officially started the investigation, I turned it on and was just asking dumb questions while you guys were eating. And I remember something came through and it was definitely a song. It was in the middle of some type of song.
Yeah.
I was like, Beyonce.
Oh my gosh.
I said, for any Letterkenny watchers out there, fans, mm-hmm. I was like, it's a Beyonce seance.
I'm not a Letterkenny watcher, but I'll maybe try to get around to it. I don't know. Yay. I've got so many things to watch. Anyway, the Estes method is one person is asking the spirit questions. Another person is wearing headphones connected to a spirit box or connected to something that can speak to you, right?
Right.
And so it's, I'm hearing the radio frequencies. I'm hearing voices coming through with sounds, with words, with phrases, and the idea is you can't hear the person asking the questions, so you see if the responses that you're getting in the spirit box are relevant to the questions being asked without any kind of
interference,
why do I want to say suggestion? Motivation, yeah, I guess suggestion. I hate not thinking of the word that I want. So that is what we did with all these million other things going on. We had one voice recorder and one camera that we left on the second floor. The voice recorder was in the room that we were staying in. The camera was in the hallway outside of the room we were staying in.
Mm-hmm.
We had a voice recorder and a still camera in the hallway where we were asking questions, and the light grid and the light cat toy and the EMF. Most of it was in the hallway with us.
Yeah.
But you'll learn as I tell you all these things that it was kind of helpful to have the camera and the voice recorder upstairs as well, because it covered enough ground that we could, like, debunk things that, like, oh no, we heard this, but it was us downstairs or
yeah,
whatever. Anyway. Sorry, I just
get it.
I'm a very gaseous person today. All right, so, like I said, we did the Estes method. I was the one wearing the headphones. Megan was asking questions. Maddie was there for moral support. So, I mean, she was holding equipment and stuff as well.
Yeah.
I took shorthand notes, so I'm hoping I can remember this, but we'll see. I will say, before we started the true investigation, we had turned on the spirit box, and I was trying to get a feel for it, trying to understand it.
Oh, yeah.
And we're in the room, and Maddie opens her bag. If you want to know if it's real or not, just hear me out. She opens her bag and she's like her undergarments were on top of the bag, right?
Uh-huh.
So she opened it, she went, ooh, like underwear. And I was like, underwear? And the spirit box went, ew, gross. Like really, really clear.
It did.
And the thing is, this is scanning radio frequencies, like multiple frequencies a second. So really, it shouldn't be like you're getting one station. That it lasted like 3 or 4 seconds, and you should have gone through like a handful of stations by that point.
Yeah.
Minimum 2 handfuls of stations. So it's not like you were getting one radio show that was going, ew, gross. It just comes through that way. I hope I'm explaining this in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I just really thought that was funny because we were not even asking questions. I think that was my cat.
That's your cat.
We weren't even asking questions at this point, but it decided it wanted to intervene anyway and say, ew, gross undies. So we thought that was really funny. Anyhoot, we go downstairs. Psh, psh, psh. I sit at one end of the hallway. Megan's at the other end of the hallway and asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
There were... I love these animals. I hope that's not coming through. But we... Sorry, I took shorthand notes, so I'm hoping I can make sense of this. And I didn't even show these to Megan, so these are going to be, you know, news to her as well.
I'm excited. That was your chair.
That was... There's so many random noises, like, this house is a prison! God! So, on my voice recorder, there's a point where I... Because we compared the voice recorder that Megan was holding to the camera that was next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, compared sounds everywhere, so I didn't take notes unless I knew I couldn't really debunk it.
Right.
One of them, at just 1:45 in, is really quiet, but you hear something say, like, can I whisper? I was just gonna. And I feel like that's not anything we would have said.
The only thing I can think of at some point in the night, and we may have still been upstairs... I think you were whispering, and I said, why are you whispering?
That's
but
true.
I said it loud.
Yeah, no, this was in the hallway about 2 minutes into us recording,
uh-huh.
which we had already kind of set up and figured out how we were going to do it.
Yeah.
There is a part, I can't, you're in the middle of asking a question, and then like mid-question, you just, and you stop, and you go, anyway, and you continue your, I don't know, it's like, it wasn't like a knock-knock at a door. But it was definitely like a loud, abrupt knock that you stopped and then you picked up. Like, it interrupted you and you recognized it, but you kept talking. Do you remember that at all? It was at about 5 minutes in. Or 4.5 minutes in.
Vaguely, I want to say it came from, like, the bathroom. Maybe, I don't know. Or I just didn't. I kind of remember, but not really.
That's true. And like, I see, and I'm trying to put all my notes together because Maddie sent me notes. I have notes. There's a lot going on. But what else do we have? So it kept saying a lot of repetitive things in my ear. I kept getting the word Dub a lot.
Uh-huh.
And Megan was trying to ask, like, is your name Dub?
Is it a nickname?
Does it stand for, like, the second? Is it W for, like, William? Is it... whatever, just anything. And I don't know if you picked up on this, but I got Dub, and you're like asking if Dub is in like the second room. And then I said something about, like, through, when I say I said it, I'm saying the spirit box said first Buddy.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, okay, so Buddy's in the first room and Dub is in the second room. And oh my gosh, I'm trying to, I wish I would have put these in such a better, I don't know, order.
Uh-huh.
So you had asked at one point how many people are down here, and I said 3. And actually it confirmed that twice.
Yes.
A long stretch of time apart.
I asked occasionally throughout. I was like, how many people are here again? Just to see if we could get.
I could hear you asking. It's funny because you ask, you're like, and how many people did you say were down here? Like, you wanted them to remind you, but you knew the answer.
Yes.
Because earlier in our recording, it had said three, and you're like, is there three of you down here? And I'm pretty sure it said yes.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, you were like, are there three, how many people are down here again? And it said three again, like, I don't know, 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
And at this point, you realize it's given us Dub and
Buddy.
Buddy. Right before, literally right before it clarifies that there are three people. Or no, it just said like three again. And you're like, okay, cool. And then like right after three, it goes Garrett. And you go, okay, does Garrett want to talk? I think that was the only other name we got. We got three names.
Yeah.
So Dub, Buddy, and Garrett. Okay. So it's funny. So it's like it confirmed for you three. And then it was like, oh, yeah, and Garrett.
Yeah.
Like this guy.
And Peggy.
And Peggy. There's a random part where it sounds like there's clicking. I said there was clicking and unexplained noise. And then something that almost sounded like a distant caw from a bird.
Oh.
It was like, like, I don't know.
Goodness.
What else do we have? Oh, Meg, you ask them. Again, I feel like things are happening so quickly in the moment, and, like, I'm hearing the voices. You're asking the questions. We're not hearing each other. Uh-huh. So I feel like some connections weren't made in the moment. But you asked, like, what did you do to get in here? And in the middle of you asking, you said, what did you do? I cut you off and said, it's questionable.
Yes.
And I think you were trying to figure out what was questionable. And I think they were saying, like, you don't want to know what we did.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, it cut you off. And for some reason in the moment, it didn't seem like you thought that's what it was talking about. But you literally barely finished your sentence. You're like, what did you do? It's questionable.
Yeah.
Like, let's see. Oh, and another one, like, some of these answers were so immediate.
Yes.
This is why the Estes thing is interesting to me. Because Megan would ask a question, and like it was a real-time conversation. There was a point where Megan said, are you stuck in the cell right now? And do you remember me going, of course.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yes.
You're like, well, are you stuck in here? Of course.
Yeah, because I kept asking, I'm like, can you walk by? Can you touch the cat toy? Can you touch the EMF? And nothing was happening in the hall with us.
Mm-mm.
And so I realized if we're talking to intelligent spirits and this is real time, this is the middle of the night. And I said, are you stuck in the cells? Is that why you can't walk by? And you said, of course.
Without even a second delay, I was like, of course.
I was like, well, that makes sense. It's probably lights out. Yeah. So
at about 13 minutes, it started getting kind of mean.
Yes. I said something to it.
And these were all separate. It wasn't all one long sentence. It would like say a word. It'd be a couple seconds. Say a phrase. Couple seconds. Say a word. And what I got in pieces was fight if I have to. And then it stopped. And you said, I'm being nice here. And I think you hear me are sarcastic. You're like, why are you being mean to me? I'm trying to be nice to you.
Uh-huh.
And you hear me sarcastically go, goody.
Oh.
Like, I don't know if you ever heard that in the real time.
I don't think
but
I did.
Yeah, it said goody.
I did. I was just like, why are you sassing me?
You're like, well, do you not want to talk to us anymore? Because there was a lull in the conversation. And you had said, do you not want us to talk to you anymore? At 16 minutes and 26 seconds. At 16 minutes and 34 seconds, you hear me laugh and go, F off, please.
Yep.
Like it did. Like you hear a man go, but he just says the F word, you know, he goes, F off. And then a woman comes through and goes, please. So, and then there was a part where you asked if someone had touched your hair.
Yeah, I was standing up against the wall, not quite. I mean, my head wasn't touching, but mm-hmm. I felt like it's almost like someone grabbed not my whole hair, but just like a couple strands of hair.
More.
Yeah, and it cold. And I, you even see me in the camera. I turn and look above me to see, like, did I catch my head on something? It's a brick wall. I can't imagine what.
Well, you say, did someone touch my hair? There is 10 seconds of silence. And then you just hear.
Oh,
like pretty loud in your recorder. And the way I explained it is it almost sounds like, I don't. Just be, this is the power of suggestion. I heard what you asked on the recorder, and from that sound, it's almost like if someone took a deep breath in of something and then was like,
oh.
So what if it was your hair?
Oh, and you know, I was standing next to the cell.
You had your back to it.
And if they had like leaned out of,
and they went,
oh my God.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like someone might have smelled you.
I feel gross. And they were probably like, she has not washed that in days.
There's a couple. Oh, yeah. So, oh my gosh. I wish I could hear sounds in my head. Does that, I don't know. That sounds so stupid. Because Maddie has some notes for me too. And one of them, we listened to my voice recorder, her voice recorder, both cameras. Nothing can really figure out what happened. But there's like this weird gasping noise, like a person gasping. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could remember exactly what it sounds like. But what she even wrote was really weird, loud gasp.
Okay.
It's like... Like, dang it, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the heck it sounds like, but it was enough that I looked at her, I said, excuse me? And she's like, yeah, I don't know. And the creepy thing is, that is from the still camera that is up in the hallway on the second floor where no one else was.
Yeah. Great.
Yep.
I'm glad you guys slept there, not me.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's okay, because they're... Oh. I forgot about that. I was like, what the heck did she write that for? Kelsey laughing like a weirdo. But truthfully, it was weird because there was a lot of quick banter happening between the spirit box and Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear me go, ugh, and you're like, what's wrong? I said, a laugh came through. Keep in mind, this is scanning through frequencies. A laugh came through like comically slow, but it was low. It went... like in my ear, it gave me cold chills because I went ew.
Yeah,
in the moment I was like, what the heck? And there was a time where it would like say something here, and then it would say something here, and then it would say something here, like really low, and I was like, what? And it was like the same stuff being said.
Yeah,
it was very odd. So what was the other? Oh, there. The gasp sound, I think, came from... The other creepy thing about the gasp sound is the direction from where it sounded like it was coming. Didn't we say it came from the Harley-Davidson room?
Yeah, so what we gathered, we did look into all this together. After comparing all the different voice recorders and the cameras. So we had one voice recorder sitting in the room you guys were staying in, which is at one end of the hall, and you could hear the sound, but it was... pretty it was
really muffled
in the distance. You could hear it on the static camera in the hallway louder, but not like you didn't see anything move in front of it.
No, so there was like, nothing in front of the camera.
Okay, so it's definitely not coming from your bedroom and not in the hallway because we can't see it, and it's quieter as you get closer to your room. So the only answer we had is immediately behind the camera, the only thing you couldn't see.
There's like 5 feet to the end of the hallway, and behind the camera is a door into the only other bedroom on that floor, or the only other jail cell.
Yeah, and that cell, from the previous episode, we covered the Harley-Davidson room is what it's called now, but that is the room in the jail that sometime in the past, an inmate actually... caught fire and burned up in the jail.
Yeah, I think he did it on purpose as well.
If I remember right. So from what we can tell, where all the recorders and everything were placed and how loud the sound was in relation to where the recording device was, it came from right behind the camera where we couldn't see.
And here's even more fun. before we started really recording, we set up the camera. I don't even think we had hit record yet. And Maddie peeked in there for something. I don't know if she, like, we were going to check it out. Uh-huh. She opened the door, like, barely started to open it, and then kind of, like, faltered and shut it quickly again. She's like, now I don't know if that guy's staying in here. And yeah, we were kind of, we're like, she's like, I know he's not. I know he's downstairs, but now I'm nervous for some reason that he's in here. And she told us later that she thought he was in there because when she opened the door, the light to the room was, like, half on.
It was half dim.
It was starting to come on but wasn't on.
Uh-huh.
And she said it smelled like if you walked into a man's room, like kind of like cologne, body odor, whatever. She's like, it smelled, someone had to be staying in there. It smelled like someone had been staying in there, and the light was partially on. And we heard oh, scary.
That did. Goodness.
A, quote, really weird, loud gasping noise.
Yeah.
From that room.
Don't.
That she started to open the door, shut it, and was like, oh, I guess we're not going in there. There was nothing. The vibe here was so much different from the first time. I felt more comfortable, which is kind of a bummer, but not. I felt comfortable enough to do different things, but also I was like, it doesn't feel as menacing as the first time.
Yeah.
I still didn't want to go in that room. When she started to open the door, I was like, I'm not going in there.
I know. When she opened, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that room is there.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it at all. And because she shut it so quickly, I was like, now I'm creeped out.
Yeah. I mean, even thinking about right now has me. Ugh.
No, we didn't end up going in there at all. Even after you left, I didn't want to. Truthfully, we were in there.
There's safety in numbers.
I know, when we were done and like actually getting ready for bed, she's like, can you turn off the hall light? I was like, you have to go out in the hallway to shut off the light. I'll be honest, I turned my head and looked the opposite direction of the Harley Davidson room, blindly reached my hand out, turned off the light, and shut the door really fast.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to look over there.
No.
There's no reason for that.
No, it's uncomfy.
And then I think lastly, unless something else comes to my mind really quickly, it's funny because you can hear, for some reason, you can hear some of what we're saying downstairs on the static camera upstairs.
Yeah.
And it was the part where it was saying mean things to you and you're like, I'm trying to be nice here.
Uh-huh.
Like, I said something, you're like, oh, okay. It said something mean, you're like, wow, okay.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to be nice here. And then you just hear, like, it sounded like somebody stomping up the steps, almost like they're like, fine then, and they just walked away.
Yeah.
But it was on the stairs, and it never got any quieter or louder. It just kind of like stomp, 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 stomp. And you can't hear it on, you can hear it on the camera that is the furthest away from the stairs. You can't hear it on the voice recorder that's nearest to the stairs, and you can't hear it on our voice recorder or camera downstairs.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which also,
what?
Which also, because I said it wasn't getting any louder or quieter as if they were coming up the stairs or down the stairs. It was like a static volume, as if someone was stomping in place. The camera was the only thing that picked it up. Uh-huh. What if it was the Harley Davidson room again?
Oh, God, I hate it. I hate it here.
Like, oh my gosh, when Maddie was trying to explain what it smelled like, she's like, it smelled like cologne or just like a man. I was like, did it smell like burnt hair?
Oh my God, I get it now. I did not get it earlier when you
really
said
not?
It.
Nope, I did not. No, that's what I, and that's what, I don't know if she got it either because she laughed and she went, haha, stop. That's what I meant.
Wow.
We're gone now. I feel safe. No, I have to stay here tonight. This is my house. And I'm like, I don't know now. Dang.
Well, you can't come to mine. So.
So I think I'm mad because I literally take notes for this purpose. But for some reason, I feel like I missed something. But that's sort of the gist of what happened. The Estes method is really cool. We hadn't really tried it before. We've wanted to. And now, given the quick responses that we had on some things, like you saying, are you stuck in the cell? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You saying, how many people are in here again? And it gives three both times and then clarifies the third person that it hadn't told us before.
Yeah. Were you, like, uncomfy wearing the headphones? Is it
No, not really. The only thing that made me uncomfy is I would turn my head to the side because sometimes I could hear you coming through my headphones.
Uh-huh.
And I would like turn to sort of
block it,
get the sound out of my earshot, and this stupid cutout of Al Pacino or whoever. Yeah. Al Pacino. Al Capone. Listen, I only said Al Pacino because he's in the news. You want to know why?
Why?
Because that man at 83 years old.
Yeah.
Isn't that freaking gross? He is 83 years old, and apparently his girlfriend is pregnant with his fourth child. She's 29.
I didn't know how old she was.
She's 29.
Gross.
Listen, there are situations where it is very, very obvious, painfully obvious that you're there for the money. I'm sorry. You can tell me all you want how good his personality is and how good he is to you and how nice he is. The man has more money than he knows what to do with at the ripe old age of 83.
Yeah.
Calm down. Jeez,
Ew.
To each their own, but dang, that is gross to me. Yeah. That's okay. Who else is having another child? It was Al Pacino and someone in their 70s. Gosh darn.
I don't remember.
The name has escaped me. I want to say Jack Nicholson, but we just recently watched The Shining. That's probably, I don't know. Anyway, the Estes method is cool. I think it worked really well. I think it kind of proved, I don't know, that it seems pretty, it was one of the more, and it's like immediate gratification. We have to record these videos and do these voice recordings and listen to them later. Like, this was in real time reactions.
Yeah.
And I am an immediate gratification kind of person, so I like the Estes method. Oh, to answer your question, no. Wearing the headphones did not creep me out or anything. It was mostly kind of exciting. Like, I was excited to hear the next word come through because I was hoping it was relevant to whatever you were saying.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So it was mostly more anticipation than anything. And I liked when I would say something and I could see your reaction or hear your reaction. I'm like, that was a good one.
All right. Yay, I did it.
Yay.
Good job, Kim.
Why did you just say that? You're confusing.
911, what do you want? You can't breathe. Well, ma'am, it's not that hard. I've been doing it since I was a baby.
Oh, you're choking. Well, you should have just said that. You're confusing.
I freaking love Kim Kim.
Oh my gosh.
TikTok people, look up Kim Kim 911 calls and it's hilarious.
Really, almost anything Kim Kim does, I don't know. Well, the person who portrays Kim Kim.
Yeah, I don't know his actual name.
No, I don't.
There's also one where he's like a doctor and...
Oh my God, the surgeon, like... Oh, just wake me up. I'm going to take a quick nap. I'm kind of tired. Wake me up before the surgery.
Oh, my God. Well, that was fun. I'm so glad we visited again. It's so far hasn't disappointed the two times we've been.
No, and I don't feel like there was anything, like even after you left and we got settled in to go to sleep, I actually felt pretty okay going to sleep. That was a comfy bed. I don't know. I slept like a babby. It was wonderful.
When I flopped on it, I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, it was actually really nice. Some of the cheesiest things I've ever read on the walls and the ceilings and everywhere else.
Yeah, they encourage you to write on the walls, leave messages like, had a great stay, stuff like that. But of course, you're going to get people who write stupid things.
There's some gross stuff. There's some stupid stuff.
The amount of people who have claimed to have sex in that room is alarming. But
did we not ask the spirit box? I was like, have all these people really had sex in here or are they lying? And didn't it say something?
I asked it that and I don't think I got remember. An intelligent response. But then you had other people who were like cellmates for life.
Yeah. The 14, like together for 14. Oh my gosh. I don't even know. Like locked away with so-and-so for 14 to life or 18 to life or whatever, however many years they've been together. To life.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Plead guilty.
I said if you guys don't take some of the stuff off that wall and use it in your vows at your wedding, I'm going to scream.
Oh my gosh. What was it? Charge falling in love with Chad.
Yeah.
plead guilty.
Yeah, it didn't say pled. It said plead guilty. Sentence forever in love and crazy, I think. It was forever in love and crazy.
I know. Oh my gosh, it is so cringy.
It was so good. I loved it.
We did write on the wall, me and Maddie did. Uh-huh. And tell me why she wrote in pen. Like, you could probably fit the whole thing on, like, a quarter. She just, like, Maddie loves Kelsey. But it's, like, this big in the corner of the room. I said, wow. Okay. I see how you feel.
Oh, God. Okay, well, before we head out, I do have, like, one teensy-weensy announcement.
Yeah.
So, if you are a Patreon donor, you may have noticed that you didn't get charged recently.
Hopefully not. I didn't. It shouldn't have charged you. We finally stopped that out of guilt.
Yeah, that is on purpose. We did pause it because we recognize that we are not delivering the content that we should be to justify you guys spending money on us.
Even if it's just a dollar or something. I don't feel okay about
it. It doesn't feel right. No. So what we've done is we've paused the Patreon for just a little bit, but it is going to pick back up. Our goal is, July 1st, the 1st of July, it should pick back up because we have got some things in the works. And we have said this in the past, but we mean it for real.
And this one's more concrete, we swear.
Yes, we've got a plan laid out. There's some stuff coming. Expect to see it the 1st of July. I think what we're planning on is some content that's going to roll out, exclusive content for Patreon donors only. That's going to roll out the 1st of every month.
Mm-hmm.
So be on the lookout for that. And no, you're not crazy. You did not get charged this last month, but it's going to pick back up. And hopefully it's worth it. And if you want to check out what that exclusive content is, you can check out our Patreon. It's linked on our website. Go to that and you can donate anything from a dollar and up. You'll get access to everything that we've done in the past. Investigations like this, if we've caught stuff on camera or voice recordings, we've uploaded it to our Patreon. There is stuff on there. Some pretty good stuff, if we don't mind saying ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think if I can dig through all of this again and make sense of my notes, some of this is going to go on there.
Yeah. And now going forward, we're going to have Patreon exclusive episodes. Mm-hmm. They're going to be bonus episodes that we will describe as it gets closer to July 1st, because we were still hammering out just the last couple of things.
But yeah, it's pretty close.
Yep. But it's on its way. So check that out. We appreciate it. And I think that is all.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, if you don't want to do Patreon, I'm sorry. We do have PayPal for one-off donations. That does not get you access to the exclusive content, but it helps us out, especially when we travel once a month to do things like
booking
this.
Booking these jail rooms, paying for gas to get places. I've driven so much the past, I don't know how many forever. I've driven a lot lately. Yeah.
Yep. So that's going to be it for this episode. If you check back next week, we're going to be back in the alphabet. Finally, it feels like for some reason it's been a long time. I don't know why. It's been a whole week.
Yeah, it does feel like, I don't know. Just feels like a lot.
Whatever. Next week, we'll be in South Dakota.
Yay.
South Dakota Slim. That's American Dad.
Of course it is.
But we'll see you guys then. And I think we're done. That's it. I'm tired.
Yeah, it's my bedtime.
Okay. Peace out.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Mixing, editing, and music is by Kelsey Ingram. Our cover art is done by both of us.
Visit our website at orsothesaypod.com. You can find links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok all at orsothesaypod.
If you would like to donate and have access to all of our evidence from our investigations, please visit patreon.com/orsothesaypod.
You can donate as little as $1 to hear EVPs, watch haunting videos, and see photographic evidence we've captured during our travels.
You can also give a once-off donation to our PayPal, which will be linked on our website as well. Merchandise can be found at redbubble.com/people/orsothesaypod.
You can find Or So They Say on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you stream your favorite podcasts.
And when you do find us, please make sure to rate, review, follow, or subscribe. We and the algorithms will thank you for it.
See you next week.